Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. It is Wednesday afternoon. I'm recording before tonight's Red Sox game against the Marlins, game two of a three-game series. They won game one last night, 2-0, on the back of a very impressive major league debut by Tanner Houck. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in today's episode. Sadly, the Boston Celtics lost to the Miami Heat last night in overtime. Really not an ideal situation. At this point in the Red Sox season, we are kind of hoping for the Red Sox to tank so they get a better draft pick next year. And I would have preferred that the Celtics had won and the Red Sox had lost. I know that's not a great thing to say on a Red Sox podcast, but we all know that the worse the Red Sox do this year, the better their draft pick is going to be. I'm pretty sure I saw that their chance of making the postseason was about 0.1%. And by now, they might have actually been mathematically eliminated. Winning against the Marlins doesn't really do much for them. It actually only hurts them. Kind of like Pablo Sandoval hitting a walk-off home run on the last day of the season, which prevented the Giants from getting the first-round draft pick and gave it to the Tigers instead. Wins are not productive for the Red Sox at this point. So today I'm going to start off with a little bit of history because it's been a while since I did an On This Day in History. Monday's episode was the first episode in a series about 42 with my pals John from Locked On New York Rangers and Javi from Locked On Padres. That'll be continuing tomorrow. And yesterday, in case you missed it, I had my friend Jeremy Taché, who works down in Miami producing sports for a local television station and co-hosting Swings and Mishes with MLB Network's Craig Mish, a great podcast that you guys should definitely check out. He was my guest yesterday to talk all about the Sox versus Marlins and the Heat versus Celtics. So you should definitely check out that episode too. If you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. Just a friendly reminder. So on this day in Red Sox history, September 16th, in 1903, the Red Sox, who were then known as the Boston Americans, scored in every inning of a 14-7 win against the Cleveland Indians, who were then known as the Cleveland Naps. They had that name from 1903 to 1914. They also briefly went by the name the Cleveland Bluebirds, which I think is a really pretty name for a baseball team, in case any team is looking to rebrand, like the Cleveland Indians, for example. Of course, 1903 was the year of the first World Series in Major League Baseball history, and ultimately that was won by the Boston Red Sox. Fast forward to the 1960s, and again, you have Boston Red Sox versus Cleveland Indians at Fenway Park in front of a lowly crowd of only 1,247 fans. Boston righty Dave Moorhead, who ultimately ended up leading the league in losses that season, no-hit the Cleveland Indians 2-1. It was also the same day that the Red Sox, in typical Red Sox fashion, fired their GM Pinky Higgins and ultimately would lose 100 games that season. Like I said, typical Red Sox to have a pitcher lead the league in losses, but also have the same pitcher throw a no-hitter in the same season. Classic. And then in 2004, the Red Sox became the fourth team in Major League history to sell out an entire 81-game home season. The other teams to do so were the Indians from 96 to 2000, the Rockies in 1996, and the Giants in 2000. Those are the only clubs to that point who accomplished the feat. So yeah, just a little history because it's been a while and I love doing the history lessons. Now, before we talk about Tanner Houck's debut and what's been going on with the Red Sox lately, let's talk about Built Bar for a second. Built Bar is the best protein bar on the market by far, and unlike other protein bars on the market, it is not filled with hidden sugars, preservative chemicals that are actually canceling out the fact that you are putting a lot of protein into your body. Built Bar is a clean, healthy protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but is so good for you, you will not believe it. They have 18 amazing flavors, both nut and nut-free flavors, including 6 brand new flavors that are perfect for fall: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. These bars are all covered in 100% chocolate, and unlike most protein bars that basically feel like you're trying to chew a brick and risk breaking a tooth, the Built bars are soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal, so if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while still indulging in delicious treats, these bars are perfect for you. They are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. The average Built bar has 18 grams of protein and only 130 to 180 calories. If you're someone who's into the keto diet lifestyle, these bars have between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs. So it's a great way to trick yourself into thinking you're eating a candy bar when you're actually just putting some great protein into your body. For a limited time, while supplies last, Built Bar is offering our listeners a free cooler with purchase and $10 off your next order when you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That promo code works for both first-time and long-time buyers, so if you already are a Built Bar fan, not to worry, you can get that discount again. So use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Now let's talk about Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck made his debut last night against the Marlins and pitched 5 scoreless innings with 7 strikeouts, only allowing 2 hits and walking 3 batters. 49 of his 86 pitches were for strikes, and the pitchers who followed him maintained the shutout, so the Red Sox beat the Marlins 2-0. Houck is a former Mizzou Tiger and was the 24th pick overall in the 2017 draft. He actually had entered the draft a few years earlier and was drafted by the Blue Jays, but ultimately decided that he wanted to go to school first and didn't think that he was fully developed and ready to enter the farm system of any team. So he waited and came back in 2017 after 3 very successful years at Mizzou, where he posted a 3.26 ERA over 44 starts in 3 years. Like I said, he then was drafted in 2017, and coming into last night, the 24-year-old was ranked as Boston's 10th best prospects. MajorLeagueBaseball.com ranked him 5th among Red Sox pitching prospects behind Brian Matta, Noah Song, Jay Grom, and Thad Ward. He spent most of last season going up and down between AA and AAA Pawtucket, and in Pawtucket, he posted a 3.24 ERA in 25 innings over 16 games, though only 2 of those were starts. So I was pretty curious to see how he would do last night, but he was incredibly impressive. Before the game, he was congratulated by fellow former Mizzou baseball alum Max Scherzer, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball and a Cy Young Award winner 3 times over. And during the game, many big figures across baseball were astounded, particularly by Houck's slider, including Rob Friedman, who is also known as Pitching Ninja, and of course, NESN commentator and former Major League Baseball pitcher Dennis Eckersley, who multiple times throughout the game would not stop remarking upon Houck's slider, which is a great sign because if you know Eck, you know that he never sugarcoats it. Eck calls it like he sees it, for better or for worse, to the detriment of pitchers like David Price, for example. Eck is not going to BS anybody. So for him to be genuinely impressed by a rookie making his debut is a very encouraging sign. And that made me really happy, which was a nice feeling because Red Sox fans haven't had a lot to be happy about this year. Ultimately, Tanner Houck got the win last night, and it was actually the first time since May 28th, 2015, that a Red Sox rookie had won their major league debut. It was Eduardo Rodriguez, unsurprisingly, who we miss very much. As we all know, pitching development has not exactly been the Red Sox farm system's forte for some time now. Their typical thing is to either trade a bundle of prospects for a big league pitcher or just spend big to get a stellar arm like David Price. Demolishing the farm system is how Dave Dombrowski got Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell a few years ago. They haven't exactly been developing John Lester types, which, I mean, obviously you have to find a John Lester type in order to develop them, but overall it just hasn't been what the Red Sox were doing. But over the last year or so, especially with them trying to get under the luxury tax threshold and reset that, they have had to look inward, and that's why Chaim Bloom is here, to rebuild the farm system and start bringing up more guys like that. It's also why Keith Foulke, former Red Sox pitcher and former guest on the Girl at the Game podcast and friend of mine, has been working with the Red Sox for the last few years because their minor league system needs to be better at developing actual homegrown pitchers. So it's a big relief to actually see a Red Sox pitcher make their major league debut and do well, because most of last season was spent calling up and sending down the same AAA pitchers who were not ready or just flat out were not very good. Josh Smith, Josh Taylor, Mike Schwerin, Ryan Weber, these guys would go up and down from AAA and occasionally they would do okay, but for the most part they were getting lit up and it was just hopeless. But Tanner Houck kind of broke the mold with that last night, and it was a very welcome sight. Notable moments in last night's game include his first big league strikeout, which came against Jesus Aguilar on a 3-2 count with two outs in the bottom of the first inning. And it was so cool because as he struck him out, you could see Aguilar on the broadcast nodding his head as he stood there in the batter's box. He looked both frustrated that he struck out, but also really impressed. He was just nodding his head, being like, oh, okay, all right, I see you, which is a good sign. I mean, Aguilar's been around for a while and Tanner Houck is a rookie making his debut, and you've got the batter being like, ooh, all right, this kid came to play. It's cool. And between that strikeout and the second inning, he struck out three consecutive batters. And like I said earlier, by the end of the night, seven strikeouts over five scoreless innings, only allowing two hits, and the Red Sox shut out the Marlins, which is rough for the Marlins because they're in second place in their division and they need to win games. But, you know, it's also, as Kevin Malone says in The Office, it's just nice to win one sometimes. And according to Sox Notes on Twitter, which is run by the Red Sox, there are only four pitchers in Red Sox franchise history with seven or more strikeouts and zero runs allowed in their major league debut. Larry Pape in 1909, Dave Moorhead in 1963, shout out Dave Moorhead, that's two mentions in today's episode, Eduardo Rodriguez in May of 2015, and now Tanner Houck, yesterday, September 15th, 2020. Pretty impressive. It's interesting to note that when they tweeted out that stat, somebody asked about Billy Rohr, and I actually told the story of Billy Rohr on Girl at the Game 2 years ago, and I called it the best rookie pitcher debut you've never heard about. I wrote about it because it was ironically the same week that Jalen Beeks made his major league debut, and it was not good. He gave up five runs in the first inning. But Billy Rohr made his major league debut at Yankee Stadium at the age of 21, in the 1967 Impossible Dream season, when the Red Sox finished in first place in the league for the first time after eight consecutive losing seasons. And ultimately, they would reach the World Series for the first time since 1946, but lose to the Cardinals in seven games for the second time, since they had also lost to the Cardinals in 1946 during the infamous Eno Slaughter, Johnny Pesky situation. Billy Rohr, unlike the four pitchers who the Red Sox Notes Twitter account tweeted about, Billy Rohr only struck out two batters in nine full innings of shutout baseball. He was one strike away from a no-hitter, but he gave up a single to Elston Howard, who was the first black player on the Yankees roster and would actually end up being traded to the Red Sox later that season. Ninth inning, two outs, full count on Howard. He gave up a single. Rohr retired the next batter to end the game, but the reason he's not on the list with Tanner Houck and E-Rod is because he only struck out two batters. So congratulations to Tanner Houck, and I don't know about you guys, but I've been watching all these games and I just feel kind of numb. It's, it's exciting when someone hits a home run, but it's kind of fruitless because it's not like they're going to the postseason this year, and there's no future for this season, as sad as that is. But with someone like Tanner Houck making such a great impression in his debut last night, you can look towards the future of next season when hopefully Eduardo Rodriguez and Chris Sale will both be back, and hopefully Martin Perez will be extended, and maybe Tanner Houck will be up in the big leagues full time and things will just be better. This team still has a good offense. Their offense is currently ranked in the top 10 for batting average in Major League Baseball. As crazy as that is for a last place team with the worst record in all of MLB, they still have guys like Xander and Rafael Devers And Jackie Bradley Jr. has a 4-game hitting streak and had one of the only 2 RBIs in last night's game. The new guy, Christian Arroyo, homered in back-to-back games this weekend. There is still a lot of hope for this team's future, just not the immediate future of the postseason. But 2021 will be better, and hopefully Tanner Houck will be part of that. So congratulations to Tanner Houck. As always, guys, you can follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter at @LO_RedSox. You can follow me on Twitter at @GFSTARR1. Root for the Celtics. And as always, even when they're supposed to be tanking, go Red Sox.